Hey, everybody, and thanks for listening. I'm Sammy Nisbet, and you're listening to Late in Life Lesbian. Today is Sunday, November 12th, 2017, and it seems like autumn has arrived here in the Great Northeast. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've attempted to get today's podcast started. It seems my child has some burning questions to ask me every time I sit down to record. Like, Mom, can I take the food out of the microwave? Mom, can I take this thing out of the sink in the laundry room? Because he wanted to wet his hair in the sink in the laundry room. Now he's whistling. And the other one is having an allergy attack. Seriously. My cat is chomping her food in this room right next to me. Oh, it seems now that I've started too, my youngest has decided to practice his cello. And he never practices. I swear to God, I saw on some podcast site that people actually go into their cars to do their podcasts. The setup for this whole production of this podcast is absolutely bizarre. I'm going to post a picture of it or something on the website. I literally have an upside down snack tray resting precariously on my bed with towels and bathrobes draped over it to reduce the echo. I saw that on a podcasting website, but I don't think there's anything that's going to drown out the external noise that's happening today, so you'll just have to stick with it. So first and foremost, if there are any veterans listening, I'd personally like to thank you for your service and your courage. I think now more than ever, it's important that we stand with our LGBT brothers and sisters who serve selflessly in our military despite the current political climate. I'd also like to thank my dad for his service in the Navy. I thanked him yesterday right before he and my mom were heading off for their free meals for veterans at Applebee's, but I wanted to make it podcast official. So I have a lot to talk about after a few weeks of being off. I've been receiving more and more emails from listeners of all ages who say that the show's really helped them out. So for that, I'm grateful that you reached out and let me know. That really makes me feel good. I received an email last night, and it says, "My name is M. I'm 28 years old. I just recently discovered your podcast in my search for answers and clarity about myself. I've finally come to terms with my sexuality. I'm a lesbian. I have a girlfriend now, and I could not be happier with my life. For a while, I felt a sense of confusion and lost in life, but when I found your podcast, it has helped me out tremendously. So for that, I'm truly grateful. You're doing an amazing thing, and you're helping a lot of women come to terms with their new life. Thank you again, your avid listener and supporter. I am extremely touched by that. Thank you, M. I can't tell you how happy that makes me, knowing that you're finding some comfort and solace from listening." Another listener wrote and asked if I was still taking phone calls through the show. I'm not taking phone calls at the moment because life is super busy at the moment. I work 3 teaching jobs in a high school, a middle school, and a community college, and I take care of kids, and that's pretty much sucked every bit of free time that I have. So by the time that I sit down at the end of the night, I'm essentially a zombie, and I play words with friends or scramble with friends in Sudoku until I fall asleep. So I'm hoping to free up some time soon, though, and if it works out, I'll think about taking phone calls again. But you can always reach out to me in email. One thing I'd like to do is have guests on, so if anyone would like to share their story on air, I think I can arrange for that. I'd also like to have my wife on as a guest one day. That girl has some stories to tell. She could write a book. We just have to get our schedules in sync to make that happen. So today I'm supposed to be meeting up with an old friend who just moved back to the United States. She called me a few weeks ago to say that she was moving back here for good. She left a few years ago and married a guy from another country. And it was sort of a messy situation because she has a daughter, and at the time that she moved, she and her ex felt that it would be best if her daughter stayed in the United States with him. But as time went on, though, her daughter started having some struggles, so my friend and her new husband are moving back to be closer to her daughter. So my friend told me when we spoke, when she first came back, that her daughter was struggling with depression and eating disorders and her sexuality. Her daughter's in eighth grade and mentioned to her that she thinks she's gay. She even had a girlfriend who isn't her girlfriend anymore, but I think they're still best friends, which is kind of cool. My friend told me that when her daughter told her about her own sexuality, she asked if my friend had a problem with that. And my friend said, of course she didn't have a problem with it, and that she loves her daughter no matter who she loves. Her daughter was afraid, though, because as much as we'd like to think that the trajectory for acceptance is on the right path, people are still very cruel in 2017. And, you know, my friend's daughter was afraid of that terrifying world out there. But on the other hand, how wonderful is that, right? A kid feels comfortable telling her mother in eighth grade that she's gay. Can you imagine how different this world would have been if we felt comfortable enough with ourselves at an early age to not live a charade that conforms to what everyone else thinks we should be, and we could just be ourselves? I suppose if that were the case, I probably wouldn't have a podcast now, would I? My son asked me 2 days ago, was I always gay? Of course, my wife chimed in, oh, I want to hear this answer. So I told him that I thought that sexuality was fluid, especially for women. Naturally, I had more comments from the peanut gallery known as my wife. But I explained to him that when I was younger, I liked boys and girls, but the stronger tendency was toward girls. And I was afraid of that tendency, so I tried for decades to push it out of my mind. But truthfully, there's no such thing as pushing a tendency out of your mind. It always exists, and the more you try to push it away, the stronger it becomes underneath the surface, I think. Now, this is really awkward to say, and it even sounds a little pervy, but what the hell, I'm going to say it. I remember when I was trying to live my life as a straight person, that I always felt like I had to make a concerted effort not to glance at a woman's breasts when we were talking. I can't explain it, but I felt as if people could see right through me, and it stressed me the hell out, and I felt completely ashamed. But once I came out and lived my true life, it was kind of like, it was as if a light switch turned off. Like, what's that about? Is it that the curiosity didn't exist anymore? Is it something that was fascinating to me and so deeply pushed aside that it was sort of always in the forefront of my mind? I don't know. It sounds creepy saying it, but I don't know. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. So I was thinking about my friend's daughter and her eating disorders. And I've had my own serious struggles with eating disorders. I remember being a freshman in college when it first started. Oddly, we were forced to attend these educational programs in the dorms that were presented by the RAs, and one of the programs that the RAs had put on addressed preventing eating disorders, and unfortunately, it had the opposite effect of me, or on me. Naturally, being away at school opened up a whole new world of insecurities for me, especially in terms of my sexuality, which on some level I could not control. But you know what I could control? My weight. And I remember that first semester going back home for a visit and seeing one of my favorite high school teachers. And her first words to me were, wow, you better be careful of the freshman 15. You look a lot heavier than you did before you left. And I remember feeling so ashamed again for so many reasons. When I returned back to campus, I started to control my weight destructively. And that went on for my entire freshman year and sophomore year. As I adjusted to school, I found a cute boyfriend who I liked, and I made good friends, and I stopped. But that whole tendency to control my weight popped up again years later when I was dating my ex-husband. He was married at the time, and he was emotionally abusive, and truthfully, I was probably dating a married man because I was running from my own sexuality. And he was, I know, this is weird, but he was safe. But again, I began restricting my calories and my weight just plummeted. When I became pregnant, everything changed. You know, my pregnancy and having kids gave me a reason to take care of myself. But, you know, what I just realized is that I was taking care of myself and my health for someone else, not for me, even if it was for my kids. I think, and this is just me speaking, I'm not an expert, but I think anyone who's had an eating disorder really struggles with self-worth. It's strange. It's been a strange twist of fate too, because now I struggle to keep weight on. I went through a series of spinal surgeries and had to keep my weight on the lower side to reduce complications with scar tissue. And I've managed to keep my weight low through healthy means, but now I have to get on a scale to make sure that it doesn't go too low. It's just been kind of crazy. This podcast has taken a strange turn, hasn't it? But I think when we struggle with our sexuality, or even something that we can't control, we find other means to take control, whether it's productive or not. I mean, think about it. People drink, and gamble, and shop, and smoke, and restrict their food intake, you name it. We take control at the moment to avoid what's underneath it all until that quote-unquote control becomes out of control as well. How do we stop that? How do we stop that cycle? Has anyone out there in podcast land ever experienced anything like this? I'm fairly certain I'm not the only one, but sometimes it feels like I am. So this is taking another turn. A banner week in our house. My beautiful wife celebrated her birthday last week. So honey, if you're listening, and I know you are, you get more beautiful as the years go on. And I am so proud to have you as my wife. I still listen to Diana Krall's version of A Case of You in my car every day. And I think of that day 11 years ago when you sent me that song when we were still emailing each other and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So just want to thank you for giving me a million smiles and immeasurable love and just the courage to be me. And I will be entering into the final years of my 40s this coming Monday. It's a strange feeling with more than half of my life behind me almost. And in many ways, I still feel like a little kid. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. Oh, I think I completely forgot to mention this show in some of my older podcasts. There's a show on Amazon Prime starring Tig Notaro called One Mississippi. It is a phenomenal web series. Not web series. It's a phenomenal series on Amazon based on the life of the comedian Tig Notaro. I'm not sure if you've heard of her, but she is truly a great storyteller. She was diagnosed with breast cancer in both breasts back in 2012, and she performed a show right after she was diagnosed and openly discussed everything that she was going through with her audience. And she went on through treatment and ended up then losing her mother while she was going through treatment. And she actually performed a show on stage topless after her own double mastectomy. So The show One Mississippi is hilariously funny. It's tragic. It's raw. And I would definitely recommend it. There are two seasons. Naturally, I binged the second season last night. In season two, Tig has feelings for her radio show producer who happens to be a straight girl. And it's one of those awkward, painful situations that I'm sure many of us have been through, you know, not knowing if there's something there, and having that crush from afar, and being afraid of changing the whole dynamic of a relationship. I think you should watch it. You'll thank me. Well, I'm going to have to run now. I have papers to grade, lesson plans to write, and stew to make, and I think company is coming. So that about wraps it up for today. I hope you're all enjoying the first few weeks of autumn. I know it's been rather chilly here and it's going to warm up a little bit next week, but we had our first cold snap and it actually was somewhat invigorating. You can visit the website, lateinlifelesbian.org, where you will find an occasional blog. And you can reach out to me on the contact page if you want, or you can email me at lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. Thanks so much. This is Sammy Nisbet, and you've been listening to Late in Life Lesbian.